Thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
As JT alluded to at the very start, we're starting a new series this morning on the Four Square Gospel. Of course, that's very unique to us here in Elim. It's something that we stand upon. It's even in our, if you forget about it, it's on our windows behind us there, the Four Square Gospel, Jesus the Saviour, the Healer, the Baptizer, and the Coming King. And it has been given to me this morning to bring the first in this series, and it is just quite simply Jesus the Saviour, Jesus the Saviour. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you want to turn to the New Testament book of 1 Timothy, we're going to just read two or three verses there from Paul's epistle to Timothy. 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 3 to verse 6. 1 Timothy 2 and 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. We're ending our reading there this morning, friends, and we know that God will add a blessing to the reading from his precious word. Father, we just thank you again for your open word. We just thank you again, Lord, that we are here this morning. And Father, as we just come around your word, we just ask again, as we always do, only from you, not from man, only from you. And all that is from you, may it get through to our hearts this morning. And everything that is of man, may it just float away into the sea of forgetfulness, we pray this morning. Have your way. Give us hearts to hear, hearts to understand, ears to hear, and just allow us to take it all in, Lord, this morning, and hear from your precious word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. As I've said already, Jesus the Saviour, that is the title this morning. Jesus the Saviour, and the start of our little series on the Four Square Gospel. And you know, everywhere you go, friends, you will see this phrase. We've heard it already this morning. Sharon already has alluded to it this morning in the service. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We see it on posters everywhere we go around the countryside. We'll see it in billboards from time to time. You'll see it maybe nailed up in a wee plaque on trees or fences. You'll even see it on the back of a bus that'll pull out in front of you along the road somewhere. It's a very popular phrase amongst Christians. It's a very popular phrase to be advertising with. Jesus saves. But friends, the reality is that there is a world out there today and they just don't understand and they don't connect with the phrase that Jesus saves. They can't fathom in any way, shape or form what it means or what it's about that Jesus saves. And for lots of people, it means nothing. And in fact, it means something completely different. Not everybody understands the concept that Jesus saves. Corey McVicar saves. Did you know that? He's a goalkeeper. He plays for Clough Rangers. And they're very successful. But Corey's job as a goalkeeper is to stop the shots. It's his job to try and keep the ball out of the net. He saves. From a worldly sense, he saves. Saved by the bell, that's another phrase we hear. And the ladies were away last year on their trip. I know they're for Belfast this year, but last year on their trip, they went down to Donegal to the famine village. And one of the stories that they tell you down there is when somebody, back in the day, there used to be, they used to use lead pipes for the water. And people were poisoned by the lead pipe, but they went into a coma. They didn't actually die, but they were buried nevertheless. And they used to run a bit of a string up to a bell at the top of the grave. And then if they happened to come out of the coma, as they said, then they were able to ring the bell. And that's where the terminology of saved by the bell comes from. If you believe it, okay. Then people save the day. People save the day. Sometimes maybe we have appointments to get to. Sometimes our car breaks down. And we're in a bit of a problem. We've got issues. Maybe sometimes children need minding. Maybe sometimes problems arise and we find ourselves in a bit of a pickle. How do I get out of this situation that I am in? And then all of a sudden, someone will come along and save the day. They will be there to take you to the appointment. They will be there to mind the children so that you can go and do whatever the important thing it was that you had planned that you had to go and do. A hero will appear to save the day. You know what it's like, ladies, if you get a flat tire when you're out driving. How are you going to get it changed? And then a knight in shining armour will come from somewhere and change the tyre for you and you'll be able to carry on your journey. It happened to me once. Many years ago, I had a motorbike. And I was Frank Brown, the driving instructor, was giving me a wee lesson for my motorbike because I had the test the next day. But during the lesson, my motorbike got a flat tire. And I was stuck at the side of the road. And we're going back over 30 years here now. So young people, there's no mobile phones. This is back in the day whenever you get into a pickle, you were stuck. And there I was with a motorbike with a flat tire at the side of the road. And wondering, who am I going to ring? How am I going to get this thing home? Who am I going to take it to get a wheel patched? And just then, a mate of mine, on his motorbike, Johnny Matthews, came round the roundabout down at Beasties, down there at the Port Rush Road. And I could see him coming, and I said, oh, here's Johnny coming. Praise God. And I got to the side of the road. And here's Johnny coming. Hello, Johnny. 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 Never. Well, he says he never seen me. I don't know. I never mention it. I've got over it, to be honest with you. I never mention it anymore. I had no knight in shining armour that day. Johnny drove on past, he never seen me. You see, friends, when it's simply put, and I wondered about saying this or not, because I don't want it to be disrespectful, but when it is simply put, Jesus has came to save. That's his job, to save men and women, boys and girls. And we're told this right at the start when he's born. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2 and 11. And also, wonderful piece of scripture, we quote it all the time, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Jesus saves. Do you know? Stephen said that in his prayer there not so long ago. And I'll ask it again. We'll reiterate it throughout this, I hope. Have you come to that point in your life where Jesus has stepped in and saved you? Well, when we talk about saving, when we talk about a saviour, it suggests a need to be saved from something. It's the very nature of the word. So four wee points on that. You see, Jesus saves people from, number one, the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and 23. You see, we all work. And when we work, we like to get paid for it. We like to get paid well. But you see, friends, the wages of sin, if you do not know Jesus, is death this morning. And the wages of death are paid right through your eternal life. In a lost eternity. That's the wages you will get if you do not deal with the sin question. Secondly, Jesus saves people from the power of sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but you're under grace. Romans 6, verse 14. Going back a few verses in Romans 6. You see, friends, we're thankful this morning that we are in a day of grace. You see, it's by grace we are here. We're here even though there is sin abounding around, even though there is a dominion of sin around us. But it will not have dominion over us because we are in a day of grace. As the hymn writer puts it, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. There's many of us can sing that today. Jesus saves us from the power of sin as well. He also saves us from the presence of sin. If we confess, that's the secret here. If we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess. You have to accept that you're wrong, and that's not easy to do, church, don't it? It's not easy to do at the very start when we come to know Jesus. But I'll tell you something, sometimes as believers, that's not easy to do either. But we must confess. And then when we do that, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Jesus saves us, point number four, from eternal judgment. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation 20, verse 15. It's part of Jesus' ministry when He's saving you to keep you out of that lost eternity. See, friends, if we don't know Him and you stay on the path that you're on, unfortunately, the eventual end will be what we read about in Revelation 20 and 15, and that's not nice to have to say, but it's in God's word. Of course, yes, a saviour suggests the need to be saved from something. Jesus saves people from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin, and eternal judgment. But he also has titles in this role as well as saviour. He's your rescuer this morning. A rescuer is one who saves from immediate danger. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, verse 10. It's like our emergency services when we get into trouble, when we need help and we need it quickly. We have our emergency services to turn to from a worldly point of view. From this problem of sin, we have the emergency service who is Jesus Christ, our Savior. We talk about first responders as well, and when you think back at 9/11, I always remember 9/11 was a moment in time in our world that's etched in our memories forever. I know it is for me, and I can remember the towers falling down. And people were running away. They were running away from the trouble. But first responders were actually running towards it. Running towards it. Friends, Jesus is running towards you today. Be you saved or unsaved. If you need him, he's running towards you today. As your Savior. He's the rescuer. He's also the deliverer. These names are all sort of closely linked and the same. The deliverer is one who sets free or rescues. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the psalmist says in chapter 18, verse 2. You see, friends, he's the deliverer that has taken us out of the miry clay. What a Savior we have. He's the one who takes us out, he lifts us up, and he sets us upon himself, the rock. But where are you at this morning? And I say that to believer as well as those who may be unbelievers. Where are you at this morning with your rescuer and your deliverer? He's also your guardian or protector, someone who defends or keeps you safe. Not only does he save you, but he keeps you and I safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved, Proverbs 18 and 10. You see, friends, once you turn to Jesus, once you accept him as your Savior, he is able to keep you. See, once he gets you, he will keep you. There will be problems, don't get me wrong. There will be problems, there will be trials, there will be tough times. But he is able to keep you because he's your protector, he's your guardian. And then another one, of course, he's your redeemer. We like this term, one who saves or frees again. Not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, friends. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ, and there is still the same power in the blood of Jesus Christ today as there was yesterday, and it will be the same tomorrow. There is power in our Redeemer's blood this morning. There is power in our Savior's blood this morning. Blessed be his wonderful, wonderful name. He's also a liberator who sets people free. He's also a preserver or a protector, like we were talking about earlier on. One who maintains or keeps something safe. That's what a preserver is. If we look at our reading this morning, there's three wee points in it as well. You see, he has a purpose. On verse 4, you see, he wants all men to be saved. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all men to be saved. God wants everyone to come. Nobody should miss out. God's desire is that everyone would come to know Jesus and know him as Saviour and be saved. The reality is that millions, not even billions of people reject him. Sad, but that is the reality. But the purpose is that God wants all men to be saved. He has a provision. He gave himself a ransom. We heard that in the last song. He gave himself a ransom for all. Verse 6 of our reading this morning. He gave himself, friends. He gave himself for you and for me. He also has a position as Saviour, and that is between God and man. Verse 5 of our reading this morning. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, our Saviour, our Lord. He has a purpose, wants to see all men saved. He has a provision. He gave himself a ransom for all, and he has a position, and he is between God and man, interceding for each and every one of us this morning. And we thank him. We thank him. As believers, we thank him that he is interceding for each and every one of us this day. You see, Jesus, he came to save. He came to save sinners. He came to save by putting away sin. He came to save by his own blood. He came to save from all iniquity. And he came to save, quite simply this morning, friends, because there's no one else who can. And there is no one else who is able. There are other religions. There's Buddhism, dealing with the most popular. There's Buddhism. Buddha wrote instructions and directions many, many years ago, and lots of people follow it. There's Hinduism, who follow a book called the Vedas or the Veda. And again, there's instruction on living. There's instruction on how to live, how to be well, and how to do good. And it's all instruction, instruction, instruction. And then, of course, we have the Prophet Muhammad who wrote the Quran. And many people follow Islam as a faith. And there's instruction again there. And direction. And all these books offer instruction and direction on living. And I have no doubt, and I have to give credit where credit is due, done by men who had great minds. They wrote books. But the difference, folks, is the difference about all these great supposedly men is they wrote the book. Jesus is the book. And that's the difference. He's the one who offered himself. And why? Because he was able. Because he was worthy. Because he was the spotless Lamb of God. He was the Son of God. But unfortunately, so many are deceived taken away on different paths and have no time for the Jesus saves. Yes, we've talked about a Saviour, what we're saved from sin, his titles we've talked about. But sometimes, friends, sadly, it has to be said, from time to time, we need to be saved from ourselves. We need to be saved from me and you. You see, Jesus also saves us from the bondage of the flesh, brothers and sisters, this morning. He releases believers from the control of selfish desires and the flesh. And friends, this includes attitudes, negative mindset, pessimism, unhappiness, and sense of powerlessness as well. He saves you from all of these things, and we all can get affected by them from time to time. Our attitudes, our negative mindsets, pessimism about things, unhappiness, sense of powerlessness. Friends, he saves us from all of these. If you feel you struggle from them, don't give up this morning. Did you ever feel angry with God or let down? Ooh, there's a question. I have. I can't stand up here and say no. A lot of people maybe think, oh, you can't say that. Well, sometimes trials come and you face them. You have to go through them. But hand on heart, I can't stand up here this morning and say I wouldn't want to go through that again. Of course, we have these great phrases and great words that we say to people when you're down. And it's not easy when you hear this, when you're down. When you're in that place, brothers and sisters, where you just feel so low, when you're in that place where you just feel so far away from God, when you're in that place where you can't hear or feel this Jesus, the Savior, somebody will come, oh, he's just shaping you. He's just shaping you. He's bringing you closer to God. Whatever you're going through, it's bringing you closer to God. He's building character. He's building character. It's personal development. There's another one. Oh, you'll be growing in faith. I want to tell you something. Some of the things I faced, that was the last thing I needed to hear. The last thing I needed to hear. You're maybe sitting in here this morning and it's tough. Somebody's going to stand up and say, oh, he's shaping your character. Oh, he's building you. Oh, he's doing all you. I can tell you, when you're there, friends, that's the last thing you want to hear. It's the last thing you're thinking on. However, you come to realize that it is you that is at fault at the end of the day. God's never wrong. God's never wrong. Always remember that. God is never wrong. But I want to tell you something. Yes, people would say it's building your character. People would say it's personal development. People would say it'll bring you closer to God. I can tell you, and I can stand here as honest as I can be, I still wouldn't want to go through some of the things I went through. So what are you going through this morning, dear friend? Do you need a breakthrough this morning? Has it been going on, whatever it may be, and it'll be different for each and every one of us? Has it been going on for days? Has it been going on for weeks, months, years even? On and on and on it goes. When is my Saviour going to sort this out? We heard about prayers for years this morning. When, oh when, dear Lord? When I was writing this, I felt it was maybe for one or two this morning, but the more I thought through this and the more that I looked at this, I believe there's many this morning. And you may find yourself in this place. We long, we search, we yearn, we crave, we desire, we hunger, we thirst, and we ache for an answer. Sometimes we get to a point of hopelessness, giving up, had enough. Round and round and round and round and round and round in circles, looking for an answer. You're maybe not going to like what I'm going to say. But sometimes we put the cart before the horse. You see, there's an order, friends. And there's even an order when it comes to Jesus saves and the Saviour. And we had a wee bit of a chat about this. June said this when we were leaving on Wednesday night. You see, friends, before Jesus can save any one of us, before Jesus can step in and be our Saviour, there has to be the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Without that, there's no saving. Without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, there's no Jesus saves and there's no Saviour. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to convict us. We need him, first of all, to convict us of our need of the Saviour. But as believers, we need that convicting power time and time and time and time again to show us that we're going in the wrong path, we're saying the wrong things, we're doing the wrong things. We need him time and time again. You see, sometimes many of the issues that we have in our lives, and I speak as someone with experience. You see, the first step sometimes, we look to Jesus, and that's a good thing. But sometimes you'll find the first step, maybe the beginning of some relief. And some of these things are here in this building. In fact, they're nearly in every building you could go into. You'll have many of them in your home. They'll be big, they'll be small, and they will come in all shapes and sizes. And there, not all the time, but just some of the time, you'll get your answer. The beginning of the start of the end of all your problems will be staring back at you in front of a mirror. In front of a mirror. And just like the Holy Spirit convicting you, first of all, to come to the Saviour for the need of his salvation, as brothers and sisters, sometimes we have to examine ourselves first and foremost. And once we get ourselves to that point, then God and Jesus can move in your life and my life to get us to where he wants us to be. No false starts. No going before the starter's gone. You see that in the Olympics and things like that. No, dear friend, if Like me, in various times you're going through troubled times. And you're wondering, where are you, God? Where's my Savior? Oh, he's right there, every step of the way. But we need to do a little bit of soul searching before we get a start made. But this is the verse of scripture that I love. Because even though I have made so many mistakes, Lord, I can stand upon John 3:17, for God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved. You see, and we're sang about it again this morning, you see, God loves us. Jesus loves us. He cares enough. God cared enough to send his son Jesus, his only son, his only begotten son, to come to this earth. And Jesus was obedient to come, brothers and sisters and friends today. He was obedient to come, to go to that old rugged cross, to shed his blood. And through that redemptive work on the cross, saves us today. He is our Savior. I don't know why it had to be so barbaric. It's one of the questions I ask myself from time to time and think about. Maybe some of you Bible scholars could help me out with it. Yeah, they could have nailed Jesus to the cross, but did they have to pluck his beard? Did they have to punch and kick? His visage was marred more than any man. And he did it for you and for me. I know it fulfills scripture for a lot of the things that was said. But that was God's plan. That was God's way. And that is how we come to know him as our Savior this morning. We were round the table again. We remembered it this morning. He's our Savior. Jesus saves and he still does it. I'm going to finish with this, and it's about God's love. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what the trials are that you go through, dear friends, this morning. And the worries and the fears. But I was coming home from work on Friday, and I'd been thinking about, what am I going to say? What way am I going to put this together, Lord? And this song came on the radio. And it's a pop song. It was made for the charts. I'm going to go through a wee bit of trivia here to see if you can pick up on it before we get to it. No matter where you're at this morning, dear friend, if you do not know Jesus, I want to tell you this morning, he loves you. He loves you. And he loved you enough to come and die on the cross for you. Brothers and sisters, tough times, you feel you've let them down, you feel you've not been where you should be, you feel you've not been what you ought to be. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He's not here to condemn you. But he wants to get you on the right path. A group called The Source, featuring Candy Staton, in 1986, wrote this song. It was covered again by someone called Josh Stone in 2008, and again by a group called Florence and the Machine in 2009. It reached number 2 in the UK dance charts, and it reached number 1 in the UK club charts. It was used in the series finale of Gossip Girl, if anybody had watched that. And it was also the theme tune, here's one for you, it was also the theme tune for Live Football on Sky up until the start of the 2014 and 2015 football season. Remember, this is a pop song in the charts, and it goes like this here, and I'm going to recite it. It might be you this morning, as we conclude and we finish. Sometimes I feel like throwing my hands up in the air. But I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through. Sometimes it seems that the going is just too rough. And things go wrong no matter what I do. Now and then it seems that life is just too much. But you've got the love I need to see me through. When food is gone, you are my daily meal. When friends are gone, I know my Saviour's love is real. Your love is real. And then the chorus just repeats itself. You've got the love, you've got the love, you've got the love, you've got the love, you've got the love. Time after time I think, oh Lord, what's the use? Time after time I think it's just no good. Because sooner and later in life, the things you love, you lose. But you got the love I need to see me through. You've got the love, you've got the love, you've got the love, you've got the love. The chorus repeats a few more times. Sometimes I feel like throwing my hands up in the air. But I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through. Are you lost this morning and don't know Jesus? I want to tell you something, dear soul. He has got the love to see you through. Whatever you're going through, brothers and sisters this morning, he's got the love that will see you through because he is Jesus, my Savior. Are you able to say that this morning? Can you stand this morning and say it? He's longing for each and every one of us to reach out. Reach out to him and all the situations of life that it may bring. Because he is the Savior of the world. There is no other name. There is nowhere else we can run. There is no one you can turn to. Is there someone else? Does anybody want to? You've got an opportunity now to promote something else. No. Jesus. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. He's got the love for you, dear sinner. Dear believer, he's got the love for you this morning as well. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're faced with, even though you feel it's tough, it's hard going, you're struggling, he's got the love for you this morning. A love that took him to the cross. A love that made him your Savior today. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, the Saviour. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.